This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 41. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will let your Holy One see decay. Sorry, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just say a quick prayer before Janet speaks to us about that this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Janet and thank you for the gifts that you've blessed her with. We pray that you will be with her this morning and that you will give her your word to speak to us. Father, we pray that you will open our ears for us to hear over the noise this morning and that we may be able to take your word with us on our hearts as we leave today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Colin, for reading. I was really amused that it begins, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. At that point, Colin kindly raised his voice so that we could hear. Thanks for that. It's so good to see you today, despite everything. We're beginning to look at different things in the Acts of the Apostles, and Paul preached on part of Acts 1 and Acts 2 last week. And we're all really quite familiar with the Pentecost, the beginning of Acts 2. But I found I'd never preached before on the bit that comes just after the bit about the Holy Spirit and the tongues and the fire and all the people listening. I realized I haven't really looked at the very first sermon done by Peter. And we've got this sermon, fairly long sermon. We're told at the end he abbreviated it, Luke did, so who knows how long it was originally. But for somebody who was a fisherman and uneducated, it's pretty amazing. The last we heard of Peter, he had denied Jesus three times. He was in a mess. And then he was restored when Jesus, when they had breakfast on the lakeshore, he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Peter is the leader of the 12 disciples, and one of the amazing proofs of the impact of the Holy Spirit on someone's life is that somebody like Peter, a fisherman, can deliver a sermon like this. So I want you to shut your eyes and imagine that upper room in Jerusalem. They reckoned 120 people were there. Down came the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire landed on everyone. And they spoke in strange but identifiable languages. Jerusalem was full of pilgrims who'd come for the annual festival. But it was also a time of stress and sorrow. The Romans were the occupying power. Jesus had died and was risen, and yet people were looking for signs, and they were looking through the Old Testament. What's going on? Trying to find meaning. A bit the same at the moment in this pandemic. What is going on? What is the meaning of all this that we have seen? And in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the crowd babbling, in the midst of all this noise, Peter stands up to correct the misapprehension. Oh, they must be drunk. And then he gives a very classic three-point sermon. First, he talks about the tongues and the prophecy of Joel, 14 to 21. Then he talks about the Psalms, how they pointed to Jesus, Messiah, 22 to 36. And then 37 to 41, he calls them to repent and be baptized. So Peter's sermon covers the historical events. This is what happened and we saw with our own eyes. He talks about the theological significance. He talks about the fulfillment of the scriptures. And then he applies it, saying, you need to make a decision to believe and repent. So, point one of the three, 14 to 21 are the verses. Peter says, these people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. I must say, I don't think I've ever come across anyone drunk at 9 in the morning. It's unusual. No, says Peter, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, who's one of those obscure minor prophets. In the last days, God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In the last days is that time period from Jesus dying and being raised to life and ascending to heaven and Pentecost up to when Jesus will come again, the end of time. Return of Christ. So the last days is rather a long, at the moment it's 2,000 years and counting. So it's that time from when Jesus came the first time to when he comes again. In these last days, the Holy Spirit is at work, building up the church before Jesus returns again. And then Joel says there will be tongues, there will be prophecy, there will be visions and dreams. We do get reports of people, sometimes Muslims, just dreaming about Jesus. We have people who speak in tongues or who give prophecies or may have a vision. And what I like about Joel is it's not just the men. He mentions the women as well. It's inclusive. Joel talks about the young and the old, the men and the women, whatever class you are. We are never too old, and that's the point to take really from this. We're never too old for the Holy Spirit to pour on us again. And then Joel's prophecy in verse 21 finishes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, everyone. And that is the promise to hold on to. So if you remember nothing else, just look at Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Second point of his sermon, verses 22 to 36, is all about Jesus being the fulfillment of the scriptures. He was the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. Lisette, could I have some water, please? Thanks. I'm not used to speaking for so long. It's making me cough, nothing else. So Peter tells the story of who Jesus is. So last year, seems a long time ago, but these last two terms at the midweek, we've been looking at who Jesus is. There's something about simply telling the story. This is Jesus. This is what he did. He said, we're eyewitnesses of his miracles and wonders. Which made me think, what are the miracles and wonders that we would say, I've seen Jesus do that? I testify, I remember once I saw, or I experienced this amazing answer to prayer, or with my own eyes I heard or saw something. Who is Jesus? And then Peter gives it to them straight. I like that about Peter. He was a very direct person. He pulls no punches. He says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. Thank you. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. You put him to death by nailing him to the cross. So he holds the crowds responsible. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter says, you killed him. You Jews are responsible. But then he also says, and the wicked men. He means the Gentiles, the Romans. And then there's one of those tension moments. God knew, God had a plan, and yet people did their own thing. God has sovereignty over events in the world. It talks about God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. God knew what was going to happen. But he also talks about people having responsibility for their own actions, for their own evil deeds in nailing him to the cross. God knows what's going to happen, and yet we do wrong. He can turn things for good. He can turn evil around. God can bring good out of bad situations. Nothing as bad as a crucifixion of an innocent person. It made me think about this COVID pandemic, about people taking responsibility for their own actions, humans taking responsibility for spreading it by not adhering to the rules. And yet it made me think God is still in charge, yet he leaves us to face the consequences of our actions. So though Jesus was killed, God raised him from the dead. And we get a quote from Psalm 16 and then a quote from Psalm 110. I don't have time today, but the quotes are about resurrection, the quotes are to prove that Jesus is the Messiah you've been waiting for a long time. So in Psalm 16, David writes, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." But Peter points out, David, this really famous king, he died eventually, and you can go and see his tomb. It's on the south side of Jerusalem. But, and there's the contrast, Jesus as Messiah was resurrected. He was made alive again. There is nobody in the tomb. The proof of resurrection, as Paul said last week, is so important. There is no other world religion that has a leader who's died and yet is alive again. People die. Jesus is alive. And then the rest of the argument is all about Jesus is the Messiah. He's also a descendant of David. Remember that bit about Joseph of being of the line and lineage of David? Jesus Christ is Messiah. That's what Peter's argument is. He's the fulfillment of these psalms that you spend your time reading. And then Peter finishes verse 33. God has raised this Jesus to life. We are witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God. He, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out, that picture of abundance and filling, has poured out what you're seeing, that's all the tongues and the fire, what you see and hear. So let all Israel be assured, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Messiah. So let's just look at that very last section, 37 to 41. So first of all, Peter's told them that tongues are normal, it's part of the last days, it's one of the prophecies of Joel. You can call on the Lord and be saved. Then Peter's talked to them about Jesus being the fulfillment of those prophecies. He's the Messiah, the descendant of David. And then he finishes. He's explained the historical Jesus. He's talked about the theology. And then he comes to, so what? What is the reaction? Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were pierced to their very being. Their consciences were stricken. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So it's a double call. He's saying, come, repent, and be baptized. The repenting, what goes on the inside? Inside, am I sorry? Am I turning around? Am I leaving behind my evil ways? Am I realigning myself towards God? And baptism is that outward, that public expression, I believe, symbolizing death and resurrection. So faith, come and repent and be baptized. Turn away from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then, Peter's saying, the forgiveness follows and the Holy Spirit follows. And Peter looks ahead and says, this promise is for you, your children, and all who are far off. And he means, this promise is for you who are listening to me, the Gentiles, and also those who are going to be in Bristol in the 21st century. With many other words, verse 40, Peter warned them and he pleaded, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number. The number was 120, so suddenly they've got 3,120 disciples. Peter says, be rescued, let God rescue you, and he exhorts them to repentance and faith. So that's a very quick summary of Peter's very first sermon. Don't just proclaim Jesus, but give the historical story. Tell people he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended. Look at the evidence. Look at what Jesus has done for me. Peter gives the theological significance. He shows them how the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, how prophecy is fulfilled. Peter explains Jesus is the Messiah. And then he ends with what the old phrase is, an altar call. Do you remember those? An altar call. When you stand and say, if anyone wants to repent or follow Jesus, stand up, come to the altar. And he ends with the necessity of, you need to make a decision. You've heard me, make a decision. Repent, be baptized. Put your hand up and join us. So what difference does his first ever sermon make to us? I actually came up with 5 P's for this. The power of the Holy Spirit to change people. When I look at Peter the fisherman, it doesn't sound like somebody who can do a sermon like Acts 2. The power of the Holy Spirit to change people. The person of Jesus. Reminder, he is Lord, he is Messiah, he is risen. The P for the plans of God cannot be thwarted forever. People try and do evil things like kill the Messiah on the cross, but God's plans cannot be thwarted. And that's something to hold on to in the middle of a pandemic. The P, the prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. He's the Messiah the world is waiting for. And then the final P, that very practical call, respond. Repent, baptize, show your faith, join in. So as we ponder on those things, just before Lizette comes up, let's just go back to Acts 2, verse 21, the quote from Joel. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't say everyone will be saved. It says everyone who calls, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's just be quiet and let God's Holy Spirit bring to mind anything, and then Lizette will come up.